Praise God. Yes, Callan realized me that I am also a precious child of God. And all of you are a precious child of God. Believe that? Do you believe? Yes. All those children of God, would you stand up? God of love, just as you speak to us through a son, speak to your word through our gifts. May our offering receive your blessing and go forth to bring life and love to a world in need of both. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Lay leader, Jimmy Smosha.
Today's scripture reading is from Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, and chapter 2, verse 5 through 12. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Now God did not subject the coming world, about which we are speaking, to angels, but someone has testified somewhere, "What are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them, but we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. It was fitting that God, for whom he, and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you. It is my joy to hear our young children and youth can play, sing a song so beautifully, and read the scriptures. I don't miss adult scripture readers because they are so good at doing it. But I'm sure we will bring our adult choir members and lay readers come forward to do their worship participating. I don't know, I'm lost, but I'm so happy that we have this such a precious children in our congregation. Starting today, we are going to study the book of Hebrews for several weeks. The author of the book identified neither himself nor the people to whom he was writing. However, if you look at the contents of the book, it reveals that the author had extensive knowledge of the Old Testament, the sacrificial laws, and the priesthood. The purpose of the book was to introduce Christ based on the Old Testament to Jewish Christians who, due to severe persecution, were about to give up their faith and revert to Judaism. However, by emphasizing Christ, who is superior to all the priests in the Old Testament, to angels, to Moses, the author encourages Jewish Christians to keep their faith in Christ to the end. Ron Solomon, a retired pastor at McLean Bible Church, which is a well-known evangelical church near Washington, D.C., converted from a Jew to a Christian while attending college. After meeting Jesus Christ personally, he was completely healed from his drug and alcohol addiction by God's grace. After experiencing the joy of heaven, he was held in the hands of God and lived as a powerful preacher. In his testimony, he shared his story of how he had been rejected by his parents and family after becoming a Christian. He was completely cut off from his family and could not even attend his mother's funeral. However, Ron overcame all persecution and became a successful pastor because of his strong faith in Christ. Parents, do you want your children to live a successful life? I'm sure you do. Then help your child meet the Lord. I believe that the greatest legacy parents can pass on to their children is the legacy of faith. Children of faith will surely succeed, although this success will not necessarily accompany the money or fame of this world. They will inherit a greater asset, faith that can overcome any trouble or disaster in the world. There are many people in this world, even among Christians, who do not truly know or believe in Jesus Christ. And not only do they not believe in Christ, but they ignore and despise those who believe in Christ's death and resurrection, heaven and hell, etc. But the day will come when God will reveal all truth. Then we all fall at Christ's feet and see who Christ really is. Famous French writer and philosopher Voltaire, who was an atheist in the 18th century, was told by a Christian scientist that there will be cars that can travel 50 miles per hour. Can you believe that? After hearing that, Voltaire criticized Christianity makes people so stupid. Think about it. If a person is in a car at 50 miles per hour, his eardrum will burst and his brain will break. Voltaire's conviction was wrong. When I'm driving on Highway 29, I'm going 60 miles per hour, but I notice that other cars just passing me. What about airliners? A regular jet liner is flying at 500 to 600 miles per hour. What about the Concorde plane? They even fly at a speed of 1,354 miles per hour. Still, no one is complaining about their eardrums or brain. The Italian astronomer Galileo was severely persecuted from the Roman Catholic Church for claiming Copernicus's heliocentrism. Are you familiar with that? The conviction in geocentrism of the Vatican at the time was later found to be wrong. Some 400 years later, Pope John Paul II proclaimed that the Catholic Church would seek forgiveness for the mistake that they had condemned Galileo at that time. How often do we realize that our convictions and beliefs are completely wrong from the truth over time? Likewise, the day will come when unbelievers will realize how wrong their perceptions about God, Christ, and heaven, and so on. As we have lived in an unprecedented world during the pandemic, our faith has been on a great test. Many are wondering where God is in all this. Did the God of love really allow such a disaster? I know it has been hard. But we must never question the very existence of God. Since Noah's age, these kinds of great catastrophic disasters have continued to exist in history. God is now watching us closely, more than ever, to examine whether our faith in Christ is true. I pray that while we meditate on the book of Hebrews, we will be strengthened by our conviction in Jesus Christ, and that will help us overcome all hardships storming toward us in our lives. As we begin to study chapter 1, keep in mind that the book of Hebrews is all about Christ. Christ. The author spends the first 10 and a half chapters of this 13 chapters book emphasizing the superiority of Christ. Let us look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. The author compares the way God speaks from the past to the present. Before Jesus, God spoke through the prophets, including the greatest prophet, Moses. This refers to the whole Old Testament. However, after Jesus came to the earth, as the Word became flesh, God spoke through Christ, his life itself, his teachings and preaching, and through the Gospels and epistles in the New Testament, written about Christ. There is nothing more to be said. There is nothing can be added after what Jesus Christ has said and done. Then the author lists a few descriptions of who Jesus Christ is. If we have a firm faith in Jesus Christ in this list, I believe that we can triumph over any temptation in the world. At any time, anywhere, in any hardship or adversity. Let's look at what the superiority of Christ is all about through the Word. First, Christ is the heir of all things. Amen. This means that God has given everything that God created to his Son, our Lord. Today, it doesn't appear that everything belongs to Jesus because Satan illegally claims the earth as his domain. But in the end, Satan will be overthrown and Jesus will be installed as the rightful king of the universe. Amen. Second, Christ is the creator of the universe. Verse 2 says, through whom he made the universe. Not only did the Father appoint the Son as heir of all things, but the Son was present at the creation, intimately involved in the creation of all that is. Truly, Christ is the Alpha and Omega, the Creator and the Lord. Amen. Third, Christ is the radiance of God's glory. The word for radiance was used for sunlight streaming from the sun. If you want to know what God is like, look at Christ. Christian doctrine clearly names the Son as co-essential with the Father. That means the Father and the Son shares the same essence. The Father is God and the Son is God. Amen. Fourth, Christ is the exact representation of God's nature. The phrase exact representation comes from the Greek word charakter, from which the English word character came. Jesus shares in the character of God. When we see Jesus Christ, we have seen as much of God as it is possible for us to see. Fifth, Christ is the sustainer of all things. I love this part the most. What makes the universe hold together? Jesus Christ is the power behind all power. He holds the universe in place by his powerful word. Even today, because of Christ, the sun, moon, and stars are in their place. The four seasons come without change. There's a night and morning. The fact that Christ, who is our sustainer, holds our lives, even in the pandemic, gives us great strength. Six, Christ is our Savior. Verse 3 says, after he had provided purification for sins, Jesus died once for all time. His death on the cross was the complete payment for our sins. We no longer have to fear death or be condemned for our sins. Our sins are forgiven and we are set free. Amen. Hallelujah. Lastly, Christ is now seated at God's right hand. Jesus sat down when he returned to heaven because his work was done. Nothing can be added to the work Christ accomplished on the cross. Even now, Jesus reigns from heaven. Someday, soon, he will return to the earth and reign the world visibly. Thus, Christ is perfect to save us and is superior to the world. How grateful we are to know that that superior Son of God loves us and protects us and provides us. Amen. In the rest of today's scripture, the author emphasizes that Christ is superior to angels. We love angels even though we didn't see them. We watched the movies about angels and heard about it from the testimonies of others. The angels can do many miraculous works, though they are not superior to Christ, nor is it superior to humans. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 tells us, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? They were sent from God to protect and to serve his children in the world. Do you believe you have your own angel? Yeah, I'm sure one person do in our congregation. You can raise your hand and, In Hebrews chapter 2, the author points out that man here who indicates human Jesus Christ was made lower than the angels for a limited time until Christ finished his salvation work. But after Jesus accomplished the great salvation work, Jesus was crowned with glory and honor and lifted up to the Most High next to God. because he suffered death on the cross. Beloved, this is the secret of the suffering of Christians. We will suffer as followers of Jesus Christ in this world for a little while, limited time, but we will follow Christ who triumphed over the world and received a crown of glory and honor. Therefore, nothing in this world is more precious than our faith in Christ. Christ alone is our answer and our ultimate purpose. Would you follow our Lord this week, trusting him who holds our present and future? Can I see some reaction or nodding? Let us pray. Alpha and Omega God, thank you for giving us the opportunity to examine our faith in Jesus Christ. We are comforted by your superior Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to live in confidence this week with faith in our Lord and our Savior, and overcome our difficult circumstances. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us rise and sing hymn number 618. You may be seated. In today's worship, you heard the word. The word is Jesus Christ our Lord. But now, through communion, you see the presence of our Lord. You taste his body and his blood through the communion. So let us prepare to have this communion in God's grace. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who honestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God,
We confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us have a moment of silence. If the Holy Spirit make you realize you need repent for something, this is time you bring that to the Lord. Ask God to forgive yourself, your life. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Let's move on to the great Thanksgiving today. I'm going to use the liturgy for the World Communion Sunday, but you will read your part. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You have made from one every nation and people to live on all the face of the earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. He commissioned us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth and to make disciples of all nations. And today, his family in all the world is joining at his holy table. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with your church throughout the world and strengthen it in every nation and among every people to witness faithfully in your name. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Now, the confidence with the children of God, let us pray the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake the one loaf. The bread which we broke, it is a meant of sharing in the body of Christ. The cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. The communion ushers come forward, and the communion table is prepared. Christ invites everyone who wants to receive the elements. Instead of come forward, you will wait. The ushers gonna bring individual packaged communion elements to your pews. And everyone, after everyone gets one, we will take together. This is body of Christ. You all take together and drink the grape juice which is given for us eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. God's precious children, whose rise for the benediction. As you have refreshed us at your table,
leave us together as one body, one people, a people of integrity in the midst of trials.
As you have shared your sacred meal with us, as you have blessed us with your loving presence,
send us forth in courage and in peace, rejoicing in the power of your Spirit.
Amen. God's people, go with God into the world.